Fuad, good morning.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Am I upside down?
To the sideways, yes. I think you can just move yourself around a little bit. That's good. That should do it, Chair. That's perfect.
Is that perfect?
Yeah, that's perfect, Chair.
Let me. Is that okay?
Yeah, you're fine like that. Yeah, you're fine like that, Chair.
Like this, yes.
Yes, yes, perfect.
Let's quickly check the roll call. It's my son. Honorable Mpeta, Honorable Mkosi, Honorable Mikalakis,
Present.
Honorable Bartlett. Two, three, four, five.
Honorable Sikiru,
Honorable Mutamai, seven. Honorable Sheikh, yes. We are going to start. Where is the MEC? Is the MEC in? Has the MEC locked in?
Yes, I am in.
How are you, Honorable Policy Dugwane?
I'm fine, and how are you?
Are you in the Free State? How is it?
It's cold.
Good that you always honor our invites.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it. I've seen your HODs in here.
Yes.
We are going to start in a minute. Please just check who has not locked in so that in a minute we start immediately. Quickly. Moss, are you there?
Morning, Chair. I'm here, Chairperson.
Okay.
Luaz is also here, Chair. Thank you.
Oh, Luaz, are you here? Oh, thank you very much, Luaz. Let's start with the meeting. I want to officially welcome all of you, firstly members of parliament who have attended.
Recording in progress.
Who are attending this meeting. It's an important meeting of the select committee. Welcome the Honorable MEC of COCTA. I'm not sure whether does it include human settlements or infrastructure, but yes, safe to say, MEC of COCTA, Honorable Mkholisi Dukwana and your team, HOD Duma, Mokete, and all of those who have attended. The Minister of COCTA, Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, wanted to be part of this meeting. Unfortunately, there is an urgent cabinet committee meeting that she has to attend. She told me that she wants to deal specifically with matters pertaining to Section 106 as per the decision of the department in respect of its own APP, Annual Performance Plan. It was going to be very, very good that she's here, she follows what we are doing. There is a member of parliament, Ms. Kleinhans, from the Free State province, giving the interest on this matters of the Free State, as we always do. We invite or we allow members of parliament of the legislation elsewhere from other provinces who wish to form part of the meeting. I've used my discretion to allow her and any other member of the Free State legislation wants to form part of the meeting. I will allow them to be part of the meeting with full participating rights, meaning that if they want to make some comments, share some information, we allow them to do that.
Thank you.
our agenda this morning will entail a briefing from the MEC of COMPA in the Free State. There are two specific matters that we want them to deal with. The first one relates to the invocation of Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act. This provision of the law stipulates that when there are allegations of maladministration, corruption, mismanagement, or any other allegations, the MEC of COGTA is empowered to invoke Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act by appointing an administrator. The administrator must investigate and thereafter submit a report to the MEC. It would seem that there are a number of investigations which were unfolded, which ensued from the Free State, and the MEC would like to brief us about those progress and what appropriate measures Free State is taking to deal with those allegations. We are going to make some in detail reflections on those particular aspects. But two, we are going to deal specifically with the invocation of Section 1391B, it's not A, it's B, in respect of Malutia Pofung, at least, municipality. Mafube, I'm not sure whether it's A or B, but some measures which were taken by the provincial government in respect of Mafube. The MEC would like to brief us. I'm not sure whether it is in relation to the withdrawal of the intervention or what, but let's deal with those particular issues. We will do that. And after that, we are going to consider the three reports pertaining to the annual performance plans and the budgets of the three departments that accountable to this committee, water and sanitation, COGTA, as well as human settlements. We'll consider those reports with a view of adopting them. And once we have adopted them, we will present them to the House and enable the relevant ministers to can table their own budgets at the level of the House. This is how we are going to proceed in relation to the day today. And as I said, you are all heartily welcome to the meeting. Let me then, with that, I hope that other members are looking in as well. We'll check that. I've not received any formal apology from any member of parliament. We'll see how it goes. Without further ado, let me invite the MEC, Honorable Mxolisi Dukwana, to take over. He will advise us on how he wants to proceed with the two presentations. We'll get that. Yes, we'll take it from there. We'll hear from him in terms of how he wants to unfold the presentation. My suggestion is that let's spend an hour per presentation. Give us one presentation for about 20 minutes or 30 minutes, we deal with it, go to the second one, we also deal with that presentation so that we must have more time for the consideration of our own reports. Over to you, Honorable MEC.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to the committee and the members that are here. The officials and everybody. We really appreciate the invitation to come to the Select Committee to deal with many pertinent issues that have been bedeviling the municipalities. I just want to first, because the person who's going to make the presentation is going to be Ndate Duma, the HOD. just to indicate that for a very long time, and also in terms of the reports, you will find that we have not been performing quite well in almost all of our municipalities. And there have been challenges. In some instances, we have put in interventions. And in many instances, we have not been able to do what the Constitution demands of us in terms of Section 154 to enable municipalities to actually exercise their responsibility, empowering them and supporting them to do their work. But also the other disturbing phenomenon that we have discovered is that many of our municipalities only think that their responsibility is only as far as service delivery is concerned. And the 152 imperatives are actually not taken into consideration all the time. It's only about service delivery issues, but they don't see municipalities as catalyst for development, catalyst for growth, and creating an environment that is able to invite new money, new investment into the municipality for the municipality to grow. But also we find that most of our municipalities are not ready for the climate change, and they're not resilient enough to withstand the challenges that are faced by that are brought by this climate change. Nor our municipality being able enough to deal with the complex challenges that are brought in by the 21st century developments that are facing us as a country and as the people. So these are some of the challenges that give rise to some interventions. We have had interventions in the province, but we still have to deal with the report that indicate the success stories, the failures and the challenges, and the lessons to be drawn from the kind of interventions we have entered into. But as you have directed us, we would deal with the interventions and as requested, and the municipalities identified. But there are many other municipalities that we need to look into at some stage and give report to. So I'll give to Ntate Duma to actually give to go on with the presentation, if you allow, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Over to you, HOD.
No, good morning, Chairperson. Good morning also to members of the Select Committee, my MEC, Honorable Mayor Leona from the Provincial Legislature, my colleagues who are on the platform. Chair, I have been given the right to say, let me start first. I'm not sure if in terms of the order, should I start first with the 106 or should I go to the intervention? I'll get guidance from you, but the one that I want to deal with first, it will obviously be on the Section 106. I'm trying to share the screen. Chair,
so no problem. You can start with any. It's okay.
Okay, Chairperson. Is the presentation visible, Chairperson? Chairperson?
Yeah, the presentation is clear. Continue, Chief.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Look, I muted myself.
Okay, well, thank you, Chairperson. Let's start first with the progress in terms of the session on 06 of the Local Government Municipal Systems Act. As you correctly pointed out, that this section gives certain responsibilities to the MEC and the obligations. The presentation outline, we will deal with the purpose of the presentation, the legislative background or the mandate that empowers the MEC to invoke this section of the Systems Act, the municipalities where we have actually invoked section 106, the progress up to date on the reported cases, the matters relating to the disciplinary board cases, senior managers who have been suspended, and the support that we have actually provided, and the challenges that as the department through the MEC we have actually experienced in terms of the section 106, and then lastly will be the recommendation. As you would know, Chairperson, that the purpose is to actually provide feedback to the portfolio committee. In fact, the select committee, let me apologize that, it's the select committee, not the portfolio committee, on the municipalities which were placed under Section 106 of the Local Government Municipal Systems Act, to provide the challenges and success experiences experienced, to provide progress that has been made in as far as the invocation of Section 106 is concerned, to provide the statistics of cases that have been reported to the law enforcement agencies, to further bring to the attention of the select committee the steps that the department is taking to remedy the situation where the invocation did not yield the desired results. In terms of the mandate, you would recall, Chair, that the Act provides that if the MEC has a reason to believe that the municipalities in a province cannot or does not fulfill a statutory obligation binding on that municipality, or that there's maladministration, fraud, corruption, or any other serious malpractice has occurred or is occurring in the municipality in the province, the MEC must, by a written notice of the municipality to the municipality, request the municipal council or municipal manager to provide MEC with information required in the notice, or if the MEC consider it necessary, designate a person or persons to investigate the matter. The continuation of that very first part provides also that an MEC issuing a notice in terms of subsection 1A or designating a person to conduct the investigation in terms of subsection 1B must within 14 days submit a written statement to the NCOP motivating the action. And these are the relevant sections that indicate what powers. And then in terms of subsection 4B, the MEC must table a report detailing the outcome of the investigation in the relevant provincial legislature within 90 days of the date in which the minister requested the investigation, and must simultaneously send a copy of such report to the Minister of COCTA, to the Minister of Finance, including the NCOP. Chairperson, these are the municipalities where MEC exercised his rights to invoke Section 106, like I indicated. The first municipality is Nala Local Municipality. The process started on the 9th of December 2019, and it was completed in March 2022. We are still to go to the Municipal Council and present the report. The date has not yet been decided, because as soon as we have been able to present the report to Municipal Council, we always present the remedial action that needs to be taken, or the recommendation that Council must also confirm and then ensure that those recommendations are implemented. Machabeng, It started in January 2020, and then it ended in November due to COVID-19. And the work was actually completed on the 31st of May 2021. And the presentation was done subsequently on two occasions. First, it was in May, and then last year, and then this year again, when the new executive or the new council came into operation or came into place. They requested that we should do a presentation, which was actually done on the 12th of April 2022. And then council did not finalize that report, and then a new date was to be set where we were going to present on the findings, the implementations in terms of the recommendations of that report. So Lepele, it started on the 15th of March and it ended this year in March 2022. The date will still be set where we're going to brief the municipal council in terms of the findings and the recommendations of that their report. Kopano local municipality started in February 2019, and then it ended on the 30 January 2020. We are waiting council because it has been briefed. It was given the report to provide feedback in terms of how far they have gone in implementing the recommendations in terms of that Section 106 report. The other municipalities, Mokare, here we started on the 5th of May 2021. And because of the instability in that municipality, there's this growing tendency whenever MEC invokes these sections. Though this allegation remains, it still has to be tested. There are people who may be implicated in the allegations, and then sometimes they mobilize members of the community to disturb us from continuing with what we are supposed to do. And as a result, we had to withdraw the team in Mohogare, and then the work will start, as the MEC has also last week confirmed that this investigation need to continue. And the team went there, but there was also some kind of resistance. MEC has written the final letter to put them to terms to say the Section 106 does not need any concurrence from Municipal Council, but those are the rights accorded to him in terms of the Systems Act. So the team will be resuming the work again in Mohogare next week, and then we'll update the Select Committee on the development as far as that particular matter is concerned. Getwana, there was a meeting arranged for the 28th of June 2021 to introduce the investigating team to the council. However, on arrival, members of the team, the council and management of the municipality was not available, like I said, to deal with those issues or get the report in terms of what the MEC intends to do. These are some of the frustration we normally confronted with, and then there's a resuscitation of the process, and then the team will also go to the municipality and continue with the work, which will also brief the Select Committee on. The progress report on the NPA cases that have been launched, Kopano, relates to the feedback and the statement from National Treasury. The due date was the 31st of March this year. And then the case has been reported in terms of what is actually happening. And then the SIU is proceeding with their investigation. And then those who are responsible will actually be brought to book. The other one relates to Mohogare local municipality. The matter was in court on the 3rd of May this year. And it was partly heard. This relates to issuing of fraudulent invoices for catering, procurement of properties, payment of ghost employees, and then the matter has not been referred because the issue relating to the payment of ghost employees, it's something that came to our attention, which the team will still have to go, as I said, to investigate. And as soon as there's something tangible that has been discovered, we will definitely refer this matter to the law enforcement agencies, because the two matters that case number 9210-2008 and 67-2000. Those are the ones that are currently before the law enforcement officers, and they are already in court. In Mangaung, on the 11th of April, the matter was partly heard, and the matter relates to an outsider committing fraud by issuing private companies for procurement of goods which was or which were not delivered. In Kwetana, the first leg has been finalized on the 7th of December 2021. The matter relating to the theft, fraud, MFMA, and poker accused sentence. And then the sentence has been issued, which is a direct imprimand. And this matter relates to the second matter relates to the matter of the CFO, where it was said that he obtained fraudulent qualifications with a view to apply for a position of the municipal manager at the time. In Kopanong, the matter is still under investigation. The case has been opened. The service provider has not been paid because there's quite a number of matters that must be investigated. The team, like I said, in Kopanong will be going back to do some investigation. And after they have done the investigation, we will then refer the matter according to the law enforcement officer. But the case has actually been opened in Tromsberg. In Sithotho, the matter is still under investigation. Then it relates to the cashiers at the municipality, where a shortfall or shortage from the two cashiers, which amounted to an amount of about 381,252.42. So the matter is still also ongoing. And even here, Chair, one must indicate that part of the problem we're experiencing as the department or municipalities is that this case was initially opened by the municipal manager, Datera Makarat. And he's the witness, chief witness. We have written to the provincial commissioner, where we requested the commissioner to look into how Datera Makarani can be placed under witness protection program, because it's a common cause that Ficksburg is closer to Lesotho. Without saying any negative thing about Lesotho, but it's a common cause that you have these people who specialize in assassinating people to make money. And majority of those people are from Lesotho. You might know better, Chair, from the area where you reside, Stilfontein in Klerksdorp. I mean, there has been quite a number of people assassinated there. We normally see even in social media where these people will be wielding the high volatility ammunition and guns, and including the automatic rifles. So I must be honest that today Ramakarani's life is really under threat, because as a witness in chief, there may be measures to try and eliminate him so that evidence cannot be collaborated in court. So perhaps with your indulgence, Chair, you may want to assist us in trying to get some form of a protection under the witness protection program for Datera Makarani. We've tried and we wanted to procure security for him, but the problem is that he is not an employee of COCTA. There are certain things that we may not be able to do as the department, but other than that, it was also as a result of the constitutional court matter on issues relating to procurement. But recently we have seen that Treasury has been given a go ahead, and there will be new regulations around procurement. So hopefully we will be able to deal with this particular matter. The other one relates to Thabo Mofatsanana District Municipality. The matter is still under investigation. The case has been opened. The money was paid over to the Compensation Fund for Occupational Injuries and Disease Act. The bank account was a fraudulent one, and the money was never received by the Department of Labor, not yet referred to the Asset Forfeiture Unit. Sithotho, it's another case, and even in this one, Dadala Matarani is also the main witness there. The matter is now before the court. It started on the 6th and then again on the 10th of June, 2022. The case number is there relating to the tender advertisement of upgrading of the wastewater treatment plant and then conversion of the VIP toilet into the waterborne sanitation system. That part of the waterborne sanitation system has not yet been referred to the asset forfeiture unit because this case involves a company, Blackhead, which is also a company that was doing the issues of the asbestos. So that's where we are, but the matter is already before the court and the one of the waterborne sanitation system has not been referred because most of the documents that affect this company are currently in possession of the NPA or the OCS on the other hand, because the matter is before the court. In Mansopa, the matter is still under investigation and the case has been opened. After making the payments, the service provider alleged that he did not receive payments, consulted with a banker and discovered that the payment went into a wrong bank account. And there's still an investigation as far as that particular matter is concerned. The Hawks told us that as soon as they have been able to discover something, they will be able to refer that matter to the asset forfeiture unit. Mansopa, under investigation, no, I've already spoken about that. This one, Ngwathe. It is in court and then the accused failed to appear in court and the case, it's there. It relates to the manager increasing his salary and approved the once payment to himself, which was not consistent with the regulations. So it's actually a fraudulent activity. So that is the matter that we are also reporting on, Chairperson. In Mukaka, the NPA closed the matter because they accused the then municipal manager, Mr. Mkwasi, passed on. The matter related to his qualifications that he claimed to have obtained honors in one of the Chinese universities, including one university in the KwaZulu-Natal, and when facts were probed, it was discovered that all those qualifications equally were fraudulent. The other one related to the appointment of the security company, Zero Tolerance at the municipality, which was appointed through Regulation 32 from Malutiapufung, Dishabeng, and then ultimately Mukaka, because when you look at the regulation for the future, it provides that you take, there's a noise coming out here, I may not know where is that from, but it is creating some kind of a disturbance. It relates to Section 32 or Regulation 32. Regulation 32 provides that if you take a tender from another organ of state, it must actually be the same in terms of the bill of quantities, in terms of the budget, in terms of the scope of work. But now you would realize that this one, there was a particular amount Malutiapufung was paying to this security company. It went, the same contract went to the Shabeng, and it was also passed on to Mukaka. And as it goes to these other municipalities, the scope of work actually increased. The number of securities that were required in various posts increased. So is the budget that was allocated. So it defeat the purpose in terms of the Regulation 32. The other one is Masilanyana. The matter, the case is still under investigation. The charge sheet, we're told, has been finalized by the 8th of April. And then that is the case number. It relates to the deduction on the Provident Fund, medical aid, as well as loans from employees, but the money was never paid out to service providers. Yet, it relates to where monies are deducted from the salary advice of employees, but never paid to the relevant fund. So this, in essence, constitutes fraudulent activity. In Machabeng, the matter relates to about 69 employees whose banking details were changed and their salaries paid into a changed bank account. And the amount there is about 3.5 million. Machabeng again, the matter is still under investigation. Let me also indicate in Masilonyana, recently we have been told that the police actually pounced on the mayor there because there was a community unrest in Makeleketla, which resulted into the then mayor, Mr. Kau's parents' house being banned by the community. And upon investigating, the police found out that the current mayor, Memudise, was one of the instigators because they had differences with Mr. Kau. So the matter is currently before the court. We are aware that the mayor appeared in court. She's currently apparently on bail. So it's a matter that we will be, through the signature of the MEC, advising the municipal manager to actually start and requesting the mayor to either recuse herself or resign, because it's a principle that is there, which the governing party is actually pursuing, that whenever any member is alleged to have committed something, that member must actually step aside up until the matters have been finalized. But we're having challenges in Masilonyana, Chair, I must indicate. There's also the matter that relates to the municipal manager, who's also facing disciplinary hearing on winning his case around reinstatement, because the municipality at the time of suspending him had not yet started with the disciplinary board processes. So on arrival after winning his case, he then suspended the acting municipal manager. But it's a matter that we are actually attending. We have advised council to establish the financial misconduct board to deal with those allegations that are actually facing the current municipal manager, Mr. Tikedi. But however, council has resolved, but the mayor seemed to be procrastinating in dealing with this matter of saving Mr. Tikedi with the necessary suspension letter. Apparently, there are some negotiations which we do not necessarily agree to. He wants to bargain. There's no matter that is actually bargainable there, because if somebody feels that he's not guilty of any offense, the process of suspension and ultimately the disciplinary hearing, that's where he needs to go and place his side of the story so that the determination can be made by the chairperson or the financial misconduct board. The other matter, Chair, in Machabeng, I've already reflected the one of 3.5 million Machabeng. The matter is also under the investigation. There were several deviations done regarding the project, and huge financial loss was discovered, amounting to 15.8 million. It relates to the stormwater system that was never built in Nyakalong, and the matter, the Hawks is still handling. As soon as they are finalized, they will also refer it to the asset forfeiture unit. The reason why we are from time to time indicating the issues relating to the asset forfeiture unit, it is important while the Hawks are handling the matter, they should also refer the matter to the asset forfeiture unit so that the accused in the process do not hide or do not spend that money, because government needs to recover any loss that may have been suffered in the process. So, but we are keeping an eye on those matters that must be referred to the asset forfeiture unit. Chair, let me also indicate on this one, the initial deviations were about 250 million in Machabeng. And when we heard about this as the department, we went there. We appointed our own engineers to go and verify some of those claims. They were actually reduced from 250 million, Chair, after verification by the engineers that we ourselves as COCTA appointed, to less than 20 million. Meaning that that's where people were trying to milk the funds of the municipality through dubious means. And I'm happy that the current executive mayor is on top of the situation. There are those payments that he has actually stopped to say they need to be investigated, because he does not understand why same companies are actually doing the work in Machabeng and their claims. And when you look at the payment schedules or patterns, these are the companies, whenever there's equitable share, they are the first to be paid from time to time. So these are some of the matters that are under investigation, Chair. Progress report on the matters that are currently before the Hawks. In Kwatwana, the number of 2 cases, Maluta Pofung 5, Machabeng 2. Let me not go through, but those are the number of cases that have been opened with the Hawks. We will brief the committee as and when there are developments on these particular matters, Chairperson, without necessarily having to waste your time. So those are the number of cases that are there. In terms of the disciplinary board cases, this development agency and entity that was established by the municipality, there's financial misconduct charges against the CEO with a plethora of financial related allegations. The agency board of directors established the disciplinary board in line with the regulations on financial misconduct procedures and criminal proceedings as published in Government Gazette number, it's there, dated the 30th of May 2014. The disciplinary board conducted the investigation and provided the board with the final report, and the department awaiting the outcome from the agency. As you would know that the agency as the employer, the board as the employer is the one that must actually execute and finalize the disciplinary process. In Thabo Mofutsanyane, District Council established the disciplinary board in line with the regulations, and that was actually established last month. And the case that they are currently dealing with relates to the service provider that was appointed, and on the time for payment, the money was paid to a different account, which was not of the service provider, and the amount that was lost, it's about 1.5 million. The disciplinary board compiled the preliminary report for consideration by council. The senior managers that have been suspended, Chair, in Kwetana, like I said, the matter related to the CFO around the fraudulent qualifications, he was suspended and ultimately dismissed. In Dihlabeng, the municipal manager, he was suspended and the court lifted the suspension because the mistake that was done by the municipal council, they claimed to have placed him under special leave, which is actually not provided for in terms of the disciplinary code and procedure for this for senior managers. And we advised the municipality, but we were defied as the department. And now this is where we are. The court has lifted the suspension. Our advice was that you will not put a person on a special leave because it's not provided for. You either must apply the precautionary suspension and indicate the reasons why you are placing that person under the preliminary suspension. If I may just spend a bit of a time, Chair, the disciplinary code procedures provide that if it's a municipal manager who's implicated in any allegations, the mayor of the municipality or the executive mayor will compile a report with a list of those allegations to council, and council must then confirm, and then an investigator must be appointed to investigate those possible irregularities, and immediately thereafter, depending on the recommendation of the investigator, a disciplinary hearing will then be conducted. The problem here is that most municipalities do not afford the possible accused the chance to respond or reply why suspension should not be considered, because it's an inherent requirement in terms of the OD alter rem partem rule. So most municipalities are not compliant to that, and then a number of cases are being lost in the process. You would recall Mitsimahole at some point, there was a stadium which was said to have been built, money spent, but when you get there in Orangeville, there was just a fence, there was no stadium, and an amount of about close to more than 90 million was actually spent. Because of the wrong procedure that the municipality applied, the municipal manager went to court. He was reinstated by the court on procedural grounds, but the municipality also forfeited their right to challenge that matter, because even the time frame that are set for appeal or going ahead with the matter were never complied with. And as we speak, the person's contract came to an end. He's enjoying whatever 90 million that he may have actually taken from the municipality, and then there are no consequences for him. So these are some of the things that we are dealing with, Chairperson. In Kopaneng, municipal manager is still suspended, but the period of suspension, because the regulation says within 3 months or 90 days, the matter relating to the suspension, including the disciplinary hearing, should be finalized. We advise the municipality they must reinstate the municipal manager. If there are grounds for them to continue the charges, they must then start the process all over again. So unfortunately, the municipality has not been able to accept that. The team is also going there to try, as part of the 106 processes, and ensure the wrong things that are happening in municipalities so that they can be corrected. Lealipuza Development Agency, the CEO, is still suspended. Like I said, in Masilonyana, the MM was suspended, but the court lifted the suspension. In Malutapofung, the CFO was suspended and council lifted the suspension. The support that we have actually rendered to these municipalities, one, it relates to the establishment of the ward committees, in relation to the review and adoption and the adoption of the framework for payments of the out-of-pocket expenses for the ward committee members, the adoption of the public participation policies and adoption of the standing rules and orders. The outer the boundaries demarcation process, as you would know, that the demarcation board closed their process in terms of the submission of the outer boundaries now on the 31st of March. We also, you know, workshopped our municipalities on Section 12 notices. As you would know, that the amendment to the Structures Act provides that before Section 12 notices used to be issued before municipal councils are elected. But now the new amendment provides that even if municipal councils have been elected, if there are processes and problems that we discover as the department, we are also empowered, the MEC in particular is empowered to issue new notices, and then once he has engaged those affected municipalities, within 14 days from the date the MEC has taken a decision on a particular municipality, those municipalities are expected to convene within 14 days and adopt the report that shall have been tabled by the MEC. We also conducted the workshop to all our municipalities on the staff regulations. As you would know, that a number of municipalities were still having bloated structures in the political offices. So from the 1st of July this year, we're expecting all those municipalities to have downsized and ensure that all staff in political offices are in line with the regulations that were issued by the minister. We also have capacitated offices of the speakers in terms of the public participation or non-public participation. Chair, I'm just wrapping up. The challenges that we have actually experienced in terms of the invocation of Section 106. Like I said, I've already reflected on some. We have experienced quite a number of critical challenges in the invocation and the implementation of Section 106 investigation, because there has been an element of non-cooperation or rejection from most municipalities. The MEC, because of some other challenges in Muhogare, could not complete the investigation, like I have already said, but we have resuscitated the team. It will be going starting from next week, and then these reports, Chair, you will get them, because we still have to report before the end of 14th day on all these matters where we have actually resuscitated the invocation of Section 106 investigation. MEC, as part of the remedial action, has strengthened the Section 106 investigation team, and they will resuscitate the investigation in the current financial year. I've already reflected on that one. And then lastly, Chair, in terms of the recommendation, we must agree on the standard procedure manual between the MEC and the select committee. The systematic processing of progress achieved and challenges experienced during the implementation of Section 106 investigation be adopted, and that the select committee notes the content of the report. And thank you, Chair. This is where our presentation as the department ends. Thanks, Chair. None of us is smarter than the rest of us.
Thank you very much, HOD. Honorable members, that is the report. Can I propose that we dedicate about 30 to 45 minutes just engaging with this report? And thereafter, we'll go to the second report because they are totally different. Over to you, honorable members, those who want to raise their hands to ask questions and make some contributions. Honorable Kleinhans, Honorable Sheikh, Honorable Zandamela, Honorable Sileku, Honorable Mtetwa, and Honorable Mikalakis, 2, 4, 6, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you very much for the opportunity and for allowing me in this committee also to engage with the presentations. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Chairperson, I've just got a few questions related to the presentation that has just been done. And the first one is on slide 5, where the legislative mandate of the MEC in terms of section 106 was highlighted to us. And then on slide 5, under 4.B, it says the MEC must table a report detailing the outcome in the provincial legislature within 90 days and send copies to the minister and so forth. Now, no report has been presented to the Free State Provincial Legislature or the Portfolio Committee on COCTA. We have not received any reports, so that is a bit disturbing, especially in light of what we read. Some of these investigations were already instituted, or the Section 106 procedure was instituted already in 2019. It then did not actually proceed. But what I'm trying to get at is that it's disturbing that the provincial legislature is not recognized in being given the information about the institutional progress on these Section 106 investigations. Then on slide 6, where am I now? On the Section 106 investigations, it seems to me that in many cases the Section 106 intervention is resisted by councils, which is also very disturbing. So at this point, I do welcome the information that the Section 106 intervention team is to be strengthened, because clearly there's a lot of education which also needs to take place within councils. And then on the, I just wanted a question on the NPA cases. And in many cases, as you said, that it has not been referred to the AFU. Who must do that? Is it the police, or who is the person or the institution that is supposed to refer that to the asset forfeiture unit? Must the council or the MEC possibly make an application for that to be done? I just want to understand the process there. Then on slide 11, there's a very short report on Hawke's cases. And it is a pity that we don't have any further information about these cases. What is it related to? I see, for example, in Molotiapofung, there are 5 matters being investigated by the Hawks. It would have been good to know what these matters relate to. And then on slide 13, there is a reference to a case in Thabo Mofokeng where the disciplinary preliminary report of the disciplinary board was presented to council. And now we sit with the problem that the council then decided to refer it to the MPAC. So I think that the that council needs to be advised that the procedure is not being followed. What should happen is that the disciplinary board, who made recommendations that they proceed with a full investigation, and that is actually what should happen. They can't now refer it to MPAC to start a whole new process over from scratch. So thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the HOD for the presentation. I would welcome some enlightenment on the questions I've raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sheikh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and I thought I was the only one who might have been left, if I may say, not enlightened by the presentation. I'm glad the previous speaker has also, it would appear that it has also raised the matter. Chair, I think maybe let's thank the province for the presentation. But like I said, it doesn't clearly create that picture of actually what is happening, and I'm not sure whether this is more a procedural issue as well. I think in terms of the Section 106 investigations, in terms of legislation, the MEC is required to provide a directive or written statement to the NCOP motivating the action, but also with regard to the outcomes of the investigations, that report, it's also required that report be sent to the NCOP. And perhaps I don't want to go into the other details, Chair, but perhaps if the province can provide us with the dates of the notifications as well as when the reports might have been sent to the NCOP. The dates, Chair, I think, and if not, Chair, the necessary reports also be provided to us so that we become also more familiar with the content. I think the presentation was more of a high level kind of presentation, and I guess the assumption was that we have the reports with us, but unfortunately I for one don't, but if we could then be provided with the dates when these submissions were actually made. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh. The next one is Honorable Isasileku. Yes, Sileku.
That's me, Zandamela.
Oh, Zandamela, yes. We will follow Honorable Sileku thereafter.
If he wants to go before me, he can go. I don't want anything to come between
us. Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. Zandamela.
Honorable Zandamela, on the floor.
No. Thanks. Chairperson, mine is just a quick one. On the 106 reports about senior managers who are implicated. Chair, I just want to check with the department. When is the province paying attention, or rather like zooming in those allegations? If I heard the HOD correctly, he said one of the reasons it's that some of the municipalities don't have capacity or they are not following processes as expected, which results to the culprits to escape prison. Like the gentleman he mentioned who got away with 90 million to build the stadium. Chairperson, surely the province should be on a lookout. My understanding is that the provinces should monitor or rather pay attention to any allegations with any of the municipalities or when there's a problem in municipalities. So I just want to check with the province. When are they maybe zooming into those municipalities when they had this corruption or this investigation in a certain municipality? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Zandamela. Honorable Silekwide.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the MEC and Ntate Duma, and to my colleague from the province, Honorable Glenn Arms, and special good morning to my fellow committee members. Chair, I'm not going to repeat what the colleagues have been saying in terms of the reports with the specifics per municipality that we did not receive or that is not at our disposal. And also, Chair, I have always been saying this, and I'm going to say it again, and then I will leave the platform, is the fact that for us to have a clearer picture in terms of what is said in the report, it will be very important that all stakeholders that are affected should have been on this platform. Just to make one example, you know, there's been mention made by Ntate Duma that there seems to be a reluctance in terms of serving from the mayor to the MM serving him with a suspension letter. And then you go to the chat room and you find a response from my colleague, Honorable Mikalaki, saying that it is alleged that the letter was sent to them for suspension yesterday with a reply within a period of 7 days. So Chair, whatever we are going to be discussing in this particular forum is going to be one-sided, because one would always would love to have the Hawks present, the NPA present, and the affected municipalities. If there are issues of them not wanting to implement the report, wanting not to table the report, then we are able to ask them straight in terms of their delegated powers. Why are you refusing to table the report? Why are you not taking action in terms of the recommendation that has been, you know, that is found in that particular report? But as things look, Chair, this thing is one-sided, and I don't think that whatever contribution that I'm going to make is going to be effective and is going to give me the answer that I'm actually requesting, because the other stakeholders are not part and parcel of this particular engagement. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sileku. Honorable Mthethwa.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. Good morning, colleagues, and the MEC, all protocol be observed in this platform. Chairperson, my question is, I just want to ask a question that has been already asked by Honorable Zandamela, but mine is that, is there any other follow-up on the gentleman that has just run away with so many millions of the of the government, especially for this stadium? Are there any means, or the department has just said, no, this is done and dusted, nothing else that can be done legally because the guy got away with this money? Any other means legally, so, Chair? I just want to know about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mthethwa, Honorable Mikalakis.
Very much, Chairperson. My question is, when the province sends in these investigating teams, they don't do the investigations. Who are these teams? Are they properly qualified? Do they know what they're supposed to be looking for? Because I think that might be part of the problem, is that there is a serious lack of some of these teams. Just to name an example, I'm referring now to Macedoniana because it's the one that I'm most familiar with. It's my constituency. And when this municipality was under administration, the administrator appointed by the province, as far as I can remember, did not submit or make sure that the financial statements get submitted. Macedoniana hasn't submitted their financial statements for years and years and years. While it was under administration, while it was not under administration, and nothing happens to them. The municipality for the last 20 years hasn't had a rates policy in place, and the law requires it. So the administrator that was sent here did not know what the law required and therefore did not get it in place. Now, my big question is, if you send these investigating teams also from the province, what guarantee do we have that these people actually know what they're doing and that they know what they're looking for when they come and investigate these matters? So that's my first question is, who are they and are they qualified? Then, Chairperson, I look at these NPA cases and some of the dates are ludicrous. I mean, it's CAS numbers from 2008 to 2009. That's 14 years that it took them to investigate a few invoices. And I don't always believe that the problem is with the police, although there are certain problems. But I also think it is a case of the municipality just simply not cooperating. And in that case, the provincial department can play a role. So I do think we need to, if we want to seriously deal with this, I do think we need to arrange at some point in the next week or two a meeting with the provincial commissioner of police from the Free State to get an update from them as to what the holdup is with these cases. I still think, Chairperson, that an independent audit should be done on some of these municipalities. We know which ones are the biggest culprits, and let's start there and get these audits done properly. Let them move in with the authority of the provincial government. If it requires an intervention, then so be it. But so that there can be cooperation between COCTA and the police and the NPA, so these people can be brought to account. It does not do very much for confidence in the provincial department of COCTA, the NPA or the police to see that a simple, very quick matter to investigate from Zastron from the year 2000, 22 years later, is still being investigated if the matter only pertains to a few invoices and bank statements. It really does not do very much for confidence in those three institutions. If anything, Chairperson, I would like to just repeat my request that in the next week or two, we're lucky enough to be part of the Select Committee on Security and Justice as well, that we perhaps in our future call the Provincial Commissioner to also come and give us some clarity. Thank you, Chairperson.
There's someone at the back who's interrupting us. He's having his own discussions, personal discussions. Excited. Please sort out this.
Councillor Diake Mukwena, please mute.
Diake Mukwena, I don't pick up the person who's interrupting us so much.
I pick it up with Councillor Mukwena. Councillor Mukwena,
please. Otherwise, we are going to chase you from this meeting. Okay, thank you very much. The last one is on Honorable Ethel Nkosi.
Okay, Linda, ke phakamise letsoga ke tsebora ba.
Thank you very much,
okay.
Honorable.
Yes, you can proceed, Honorable Ethel Nkosi.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to the MEC, the HOD, my colleagues, and all the members present in the meeting. Honorable Chair, let me take this opportunity to join my colleagues, the HOD, on the issue of the Section 106 report. Chair, I think most of the issues that I wanted to ask, I think are being asked, but I want to join my honorable colleague, Sileku, when he speaks of the stakeholders that are supposed to be here, especially on the side of the NPA, where you could see when you look at the report, most of the cases I investigated, but when you check, it is being said on the report that some of the cases are not referred to the AFU. We want to maybe propose that if maybe it can be possible for the committee that we bring along all those stakeholders so that we can check exactly what is the status of these cases, because some of them we have gone to the court, we don't have the outcome of the court. I think we must also get exactly the outcome of the court as to say what is happening. And also on the issue of the Nketwana local municipality, the MEC reported that they were supposed to go there and introduce the investigation team. Unfortunately, the management of the council was not there. They were then still going to resuscitate the investigation. But I just want to check with the MEC as to what was the reason for the management to be not in the council on the day of the introduction of the investigation. Were they not informed about their coming to the municipality? And on Ngwathe local municipality also, it is said that the accused was supposed to appear before the court on the second and third of the February, and he didn't. I didn't get exactly what was the reason. Did they have the reason as to why the accused didn't appear to the court? And if they've got the reason that is not satisfactory, what have they done to make sure that that person appears before the court? Because he stole the money of the municipality when he increased his salary. He approved himself for the increment of his salary. I think I will pose the Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkosi. Honorable Mutamai.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm shocked and surprised how Kutaro there are cases of 2008, still nearly 14 years now, and the people have never been prosecuted. Mr. Duma and Carlos, who are following these cases? Or they just report the case and sit down and forget about it? If cases are nearly 14 years now, what happened? Are those people, because when are those people are going to be arrested? When are those people going to jail? Because they committed crime.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motamai. Just some few issues from my side. Firstly, obviously we welcome the presentation and the report as presented by the provincial government. Secondly, I want us to settle this. This meeting is incomplete. A lot of members have expressed this view, and I'm expressing it too, and we need to do something about it. We need all the law enforcement agencies to be here in the committee to come and brief us why have they not acted on this many, many cases that are before them. And we also need municipalities to come and tell us why they have not acted and assisted the process. On that score, I want to propose that in 2 weeks' time, MOS, on an agency basis, invite all the law enforcement agencies from the Free State, the provincial commissioner, the HOCS, the SIU, and the NPA. Especially those four, the provincial commissioner, the HOCS, the SIU, and the NPA to appear before this committee within 2 weeks to come and deal with that part of the cases that have been there for a very, very long time. Two, I suggest that we invite all municipalities that are affected to to come and brief us in detail in the very same meeting. It's an urgent meeting. It must be a bit longer meeting, maybe 4 to 5 hours, just engage, or even the whole day, just engaging with all the stakeholders. And honorable members will pardon us because of the volume and the magnitude of the issues at hand, and they need to be exhausted extensively. We will have to spend the whole day just dealing with all of these issues. Municipalities and the law enforcement agencies within two weeks. I think this should be the essence of what we want to do. But two, Honorable MEC, this picture is very bleak, is very, very disturbing about the state of municipalities, especially the cases that your department has reported here this morning. It is extremely serious. It is bleak. It is concerning a lot that people loot in this way and there are no consequences against them. It is like it's business as usual. But maybe as you are going to respond to the questions as asked by the NECs and by honorable members, other than the fact that we inviting municipalities and law enforcement agencies within 2 weeks, I want to raise the following. Firstly, I want to say, NEC, I think in my respective view, your department is on the wrong side. Not now, but in the past. I'll tell you why. Firstly, when they invoke Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act, they must, within 14 days, as Honorable Sheikh indicated, inform the NCOP. They have not informed the NCOP in most of these cases. We do not have the record where you, after invoking Section 106, starting from 2018, 2019, all the cases that you presented here, most of them, if not all, there is no evidence that within 14 days, you have informed the NCOP about the fact that you are instituting or you have instituted an investigation against a particular municipality because of this and that problem. And for me, I want you to as and when you invoke in the future, because I think during your term, you've not invoked any, that we need to be accordingly invited. But I think the 106 section is also problematic because it doesn't say once you have invited us, you have informed us what we must do. It's just silent. I think if I pointed out in Mangaung when we were there that there is a lacuna, that I think we need to fill that gap, that it must be clear in terms of the law. Once we receive the report within 14 days as the NCOP, what must we do with it? It just says you must motivate the action that you've taken, and obviously it doesn't say whether we must approve that action, we must disapprove it, we must do what. The law doesn't say anything whatsoever. And it doesn't say what further steps must be taken once we are aware that you have invoked Section 106 of the Municipal Systems Act. Unlike when you invoke Section 139 of the Constitution, it does somehow spell out exactly what is it that the NCOP need to do with regard to that. But this one is just silent. Honorable Klein has raised an important question that relates to the 90 days issue. I've just checked the Systems Act. The 90-day issue relates to when you as a province fail to investigate, the minister instructs you to investigate, and you must table the report within 90 days in that sense. It doesn't say, in your case, how long should the investigation take? And it is quite clear that these investigations are like bottomless. They are perpetual. They can't come to an end. If people have stolen money, it must be a quick investigation so that an appropriate action must be taken. If there are allegations about these matters, there ought to be quick investigation that you institute as so that actions must be taken. But in terms of this, the investigations, for all the reasons that you mentioned, they take almost 4 years, 3 years, and this for me is unacceptable. Just an investigation from the level of COMPTA. And this law doesn't say how long your investigation must take. It only says in respect of when the minister has instructed you, it must be 90 days. But in terms of us informing us or on your own volition, on your accord, when you institute 106, how long the investigation must take. And I think as an NCOP, at some point, we need to just look at this law and say there are serious gaps that require a serious amendment if we are to fight corruption, fraud, and maladministration. This matter must be given the necessary attention that it deserves. For me, those are the issues without going deeper into all of this. One is that we need that session in 2 weeks' time. After this meeting, you must inform all of them, set a date, inform all of them so that there mustn't be an excuse that that people didn't receive the invitation on time. We will give them sufficient time, 2 weeks, to engage with the issues that are before us. And I think without going into other details, this suffices. It's okay. We need to take the process forward along those lines. With that, over to you, Honorable MEC, to just some few closing remarks on this matter, very, very quick, so that we get into the other matter, the second matter. Thank you. Over to you, MEC.
May I make a proposal, Chair, Honorable Mteto?
Yes, Honorable Mteto.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for allowing me to come back again. I listened to your proposal. It's a good proposal. But sometimes, Chair, bringing in the law enforcement into our committees, sometimes it doesn't help us a lot, because in front of us there's a department. I still feel, Chair, that let's push this department to bring the relevant information from the law enforcement so that we can discuss it and take a decision based on that. I'm saying this, Chair, because sometimes the law enforcement will say, hey, look, this case, we're still dealing with it. We can't discuss it now in an open space like this. In this case, what is the department doing with these cases? As Comrade Honorable Zamaya said, they have been sitting there with this report. We want the report. They must bring the report to us so that we can take decision. Then the law enforcement must act on that. Because I just want to raise that, Chair. Maybe it can help us that the department must bring the relevant information we want as a matter of urgency. Even if it's next week, even if it's tomorrow, we want this information so that we can take decision.
It's okay, Honorable Mteta, but if you can listen to the report, the department has tried to give us whatever information, case numbers in some cases, progress, and that is not enough because 14 days is a very long time. They, law enforcement agents, they must tell us what stumbling blocks do they have to facilitate this. If the matter is under investigation or is sub judice, they can't disclose the information, they will tell us that no, on this one we can't. They know what to do because we assume that they are experienced people to tell us that no, we can't divulge information on this. But they must tell us what makes it difficult to finalize cases in relation to those that are on the table. They must tell us whether they are reluctant, that reluctant, or they lack capacity, they lack resources, there is no information, and we need that. We need to be told, because these cases must be pushed, they must be finalized. Billions, I'm sure, of money has been stolen here, according to this report. And then we are told that the cases are with them. They must tell us what is happening. Why are they not pushing cases in the way that they've got to push them? Especially at municipal level. That's my view. And I think that what the department has given us, they've given us. We have this information in terms of the presentation. I don't know, maybe we could discuss it further, but this is how I think we need to do. Over to you, MEC.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the members. I think some of the questions that are asked clearly indicate a challenge that we must find a way of dealing with, especially in terms of what the Chairperson has said. The challenge that the committee will find itself in, you get the report, you get a notice, that notification, and then what do you do? But the most important thing that I think we also need to be alive to is it should not be a point of entry for the provincial government to start with the investigations, etc. But some of the investigations must be to establish what kind of support in terms of 154 that must be given to the municipality to enable any municipality to perform its duties. But when we get to 106, it is with regard to some serious allegations of non-performance, fraudulent activities, etc., that necessitates such an investigation to be performed, so that we are able to separate the interventions that are taken. And not only every time we invoke Section 106, but as I say, the scope also would necessitate what we need to invoke. And these are some of the comments that I want to, and I appreciate the fact that we are being cautioned that we have not been submitting as it is required by law to do that within a permitted time frame. And I think these are some of the things that we would like to correct at all times. But also with the Honorable Dean Hans that has raised, and I think it has to do also with our planning in the province in terms of how do we get to give some of the reports to the portfolio committees, because we are called to portfolio committees for specific responsibility to perform or to deal with certain issues. But I think we need to give reports that of this nature to even our own legislative arm, in this case the legislature. But as I'm saying, we are actually in this case limited by the request coming back from us to present to committees. In fact, the last time I indicated to the Chairperson of a number of information that we need to submit, and that would help the committee to perform its oversight and hold any department and every person accountable, even municipality. So I think we need to do those things. We appreciate all these concerns that have been raised. Thank you.
Thank you very much on that. As we pointed out, we'll look at this matter so that we expedite them, so that we make a case for about Free State and how we must proceed forward. Honourable members, if you allow, can we take the second presentation? Over to you, Honourable MEC. I think it is on two municipalities.
Yeah, no, the
Malutia Pofung. To just find out that we in December 2020 we visited MEP Malutia Pofung municipality as part of our oversight work, but to also look at progress in respect of the invocation of Section 139B of the Constitution in that municipality. And I'm not sure to what extent the problems been addressed But let's hear from you. And the other one is what? Mafube, yes. Brief us on those two municipalities so that we take a decision in terms of what needs to be done. Thank you.
I think the HOD will take us through, but safe to say, with regard to Mafube, the business community and AfriForum had approached the court to actually ask the court for the intervention that should be done by the national department or national government. But we sitting with the order that the provincial government must take over the running of this municipality as an intervention for this municipality to be able to provide services to the people as it is in line with what their responsibilities are. So I think the HOD will take us through and we can then deal with all these matters. Thank you. HOD, through you, Chairperson.
Thank you once more.
Okay.
Thank you once more, MEC, members of the Select Committee. May I, with your permission, Chair, start first with the one of Mafube, because in terms of how I have lined the sharing is the one that comes first, and then we'll end up with the one of Maluta Pufung, with your permission, of course, Chair. Am I granted?
It's okay, sorry, no problem.
No, thank you, Chair. The first slide deals with the background, and in terms of the background, we are all aware that Mafube had for a number of years encountered serious crisis in terms of financial affairs, which persistently breached its obligation to provide basic services and to meet its financial obligation, including paying the third-party deduction over to the relevant schemes. The situation resulted in Mafube being placed under administration in terms of Section 1391B of the Constitution by the Provincial Executive Council. And then that meeting took place on the 15th of March 2017, which ultimately agreed on the appointment of Mr. Noti and then Mr. Matole, respectively, to be the administrator and an assistant administrator. And ultimately, Mr. Matolo was then subsequently appointed as the municipal manager by the council at its meeting of the 14th December 2017. Like I said, we're giving the background, the service delivery challenges, the service delivery achievement, litigations in terms of the business forum, AFRI forum, and the municipality, and lastly will be the conclusion. Yes, I've already reflected on when was the intervention in Bund for the first time, and then it was also further. The Executive Council also replaced the administrator and the acting administrator. As you would recall, that there were also issues relating to the salary of the municipal manager, which matter is also before the court as we speak. And then the Executive Council then in 2020 on the 11th approved that we should have the replacement, and this was actually done to have Mr. Moremi taking over the reins as an administrator at the municipality, and then on the 30th of March 2021, then the Executive Council revoked Section 1391B and then said Mr. Moremi must actually remain to deal with the issues in terms of Section 154 support of the Constitution until the new council has been elected. And this only started from the 1st of April 2021 until December as part of the handover process. And in between, I think this is what we also need to explain. As a result of the litigious process between the then municipal manager, Mr. Matole, who subsequently resigned and later complained that it was a constructive dismissal because it was a matter between him and the previous MEC of the department. Then the municipality requested Cocta to second an official to be an acting municipal manager while we wait, awaiting the litigation process to be finalized between Mr. Matrol and the municipality. The litigation was actually finalized. And quite strangely, Chair, I think that I need to indicate this. At first, the matter was at the Labour Court. The Labour Court dismissed the matter. And then Mr. Matrol then somersaulted, went to the CCMA. We raise, a point in limine, meaning that we were objecting to say CCMA does not have a jurisdiction on the matter because the matter was already before the Labour Court, which is the senior institution than the CCMA. But however, the commissioner ruled against us and then issued an award, arbitration award, which arbitration award said Mr. Matrol must be reinstated by the municipality for the remainder of his contract, and he must be compensated an amount of about 2.7 million. If the municipality fails to appoint him, then Cocta must appoint him. And that is the reason why we actually applied for a rescission of that order or of that arbitration award, and the matter is before the Cape Town High or Labour Court. So we will be going there as soon as we have been favored with the dates in terms of what we will be defending as the department. Then Mr. Kadimo Masekon was then appointed by council to act from the 1st of April 2020 until the 1st of April 2021. The reason why he ended in 2021, because the municipality then was in the position to appoint a municipal manager, Mr. Josira Lebenya. The next slide, Chair, deals with the basic service delivery challenges that we have experienced as at the municipality. This, we take in count of stock from January 2020, and these are the problems highlighted: insufficient water supply in high-lying areas of Mamelodi and Phumulong, which problem we think will be alleviated by the construction of Namahadi raising main and attendant 8-kilometer water pipe to provide water services to these communities. We are also saying we will be leveraging the resources from the replacement of cement asbestos pipelines that are prone to bursting and then constitute a significant portion or proportion of water network in the municipality. And as a result, when the pipe bursts, there's a quite number of volumes of water that are being lost in the line. The capital project was stalled in the municipality as a result of the management encroaching on these grants and used about 8 million for unintended purposes, as you would know that the DORA says. While the money is issued in terms of those conditions included in the DORA, most municipalities, because of their financial position, end up using the money for operations. And then Treasury has come up with the measures to actually implement penalties against such defaulting municipalities. The reliability of water supply at high-lying areas that should be addressed by the implementation of water conservation and demand management program, which then means it's water balance vis-a-vis or in water pressure management. And that is the study and the work that is currently being undertaken by the Department of Water and Sanitation in the province. The significant percentage of about 64% of the households do get water. But the problem is that the municipality is unable to collect enough revenue out of those water meters because of the age of the very meters ranging between 10 and 15 years old and are prone to meter inaccuracies. Because whenever you have such meters which have not been serviced over a period of time, you can't get reliable data for you to be able to build communities accordingly. What we have also discovered as a challenge is that the water metering audit revealed that about 4,600 meters, representing about 33% of the total meters of the municipality, were found to be defective. I've already spoken about it. What are the problems in terms of the defectiveness of these meters? They are either not working or turning or buried or flooded because the municipality is not actually doing readings. They just simply perform meter readings regularly. They are not that. They do not perform meter readings regularly, and readings were estimated on a monthly basis for billing purposes. So this is a problem in most municipalities because they are not using the latest technology of reading the meters. They just simply use estimates. And in some instances, this is the revenue that is lost to municipalities. It also showed that there was lack of routine and preventative maintenance for the executive, existing meters. And about 4.2 of the meters or stands, 573, are unmetered, meaning that these are the people who are actually enjoying getting the money for free from the municipality, as these areas do not have meters. And it compromises the billing of the municipalities, and that's where the municipality will apply flat rate and is not consistent with the consumption. The other issue is to conduct or the conducting of prompt maintenance of water and wastewater service delivery infrastructure and the eradication of basic sanitation. As I continue this presentation, Chair, you will see on what the MEC reflected on around the case of Business Forum and then also AFGRI. Sourcing of resources for the refurbishment of wastewater treatment works to avoid discharging a raw sewer into the Vaal River. You would know that when the Deputy President presented his oral reply in the National Assembly in December or November 2020, he had indicated that there are these municipalities in the Free State, Northern Cape, including Mpumalanga, that are actually polluting the Vaal River through their small streams, like Mafube does that through their Velger River, which comes originally from KZN via Maludiapofung, Harrismith in particular, and then up to the Vaal River catchment area. So these are the results why we have the Vaal River being highly polluted. But the Department of Water and Sanitation is currently attending to the matter. It's not only in that, including Maludiapofung and then also Mutaka and Machabe. The municipality have roads, stormwater backlogs that is standing at about 224 kilometers and will need an estimated capital of about 2.5 billion. To actually make sure that the road surface is actually resuscitated. And this backlog represents about 68.59 of the total road network of about 327.32 kilometers that crisscrosses the municipal area. Inadequate municipal fleet that encumbers on the municipality to provide prompt and reliable services, such as refuse removal and maintenance of bulk water, sanitation, and roads, including stormwater infrastructure, restoration of the waste removal, my apologies, Chair, of the waste removal services on a weekly basis in all towns, and periodic removal of illegal dumping sites. Chair, this is one of the areas in the next slide where we want to demonstrate the current challenges actually facing the municipality and why we have this problem that we're having in Mafube. For instance, we have taken stock of the billing arrangement in the municipality, the amount that they have billed consumers and their actual collection and the collection percentage. Chair, from July 2020 up to April 2021, those are the billing figures on or the amounts that the municipality has billed its own consumers. But look at the percentage or the collection amount, actual collection amount. The municipality totally has billed about 103 million, but the collection is almost 20 million or 20.8 million, which represents about 20%. And this is against what Treasury has advised municipalities of the collection rate that must actually hover between 90 and 95%. So the province or the municipality is running almost 75% less than the Treasury threshold. Like I have already said, due to low revenue collection, the municipality experienced salary deficit of about 7 million monthly, and then it amounts to 84.1 million per annum. The municipality depends strictly on equitable share, and then equitable share is actually used to pay salaries, and nothing is actually left to improve on the operations and then other services related matters. However, after the intervention, there were those some achievements that were reported. And in terms of those achievements, the municipality has been able to pay back the 8 million. Remember, that's the one I said, management has actually used that for operations when it was supposed to be an infrastructure related expenditure. 100% of capital grants for 2019-2020 were spent on intended purpose and thereby extended services such as electricity connection, ensured reliable provision of water services, for an example. Those are some, I will list the number of projects that the municipality has been able to successfully implement through this 154 support after the revocation of Section 1391B. The municipality has been able to complete and commission the 6.5 megaliter reservoir at Villiers, refurbished and have an automated 12 megaliter in Frankfurt wastewater treatment plant, refurbished the extension 3 sewer pump station in Kalabocha, Villiers, replaced block sewer lines in extension 3 Kalabocha, upgrading of 86 meter sewer lines in Frankfurt in Klein Street, upgraded about 654 meter sewer main lines in Pumulo. All those are the list of projects that have actually been undertaken, installing new water meters in most of the areas under Mafube. The municipality provides an effective water and sanitation services and attendant operations and maintenance in an event of service interruption. The municipality is providing electricity services through rural maintenance, and this is one of the problems we are experiencing, because rural maintenance, though, is actually giving consistent supply of electricity. The larger chunk of electricity sales go to rural maintenance, and the municipality is only given the royalties as if they are a musician. You know, when you are a musician, the recording labels will just simply give you royalties when you have actually done the work. So this is a matter that we have all agreed that it must actually be looked into, and the contract must actually be renegotiated, because it's not consistent with the MFMA, without necessarily compromising the good work that rural maintenance is doing in that municipality. And if we can't find each other, then we'll have to resort to the court to see how this contract can either be set aside or be renegotiated. The other achievement, as you would know, the reports have been reflecting that the municipality has been failing to submit their annual financial statements. We were able to ensure that the 18-19-19-20 financial statement were submitted to the Auditor General on the 16th of February 2021 for auditing. But the outcome, though it has actually improved from a disclaimer to a qualified, we still want to endeavor and ensure that the municipality at least goes to an unqualified and subsequently to a clean audit. Most of those illegal decisions that were taken by the previous council, including our administration, were reversed, such as opposed the paying of unlawful contracts and demoted and unadjusted salaries of employees done contrary to the provisions of the law. The team has also ensured that the municipal manager is appointed and he assumed his duty on the 4th of May 2021, like I have said, Mr. Joseph Alibena. The team has been able to implement consequence management and institute disciplinary process against two Section 56 managers whose services were terminated on the 31st of December 2021 and then on the 4th of February 2022, respectively. I'm aware that they have actually appealed, but they are still not in the employ of the municipality. The rural maintenance contract for the provision of electricity services on their behalf of the municipality is currently being reviewed. And like I said, I've already reflected on that one. In terms of the litigation, the business forum applied for to the High Court that the national government must actually take over the intervention in the municipality. Also, that as a business forum, they need to be given permission to also run the affairs of the municipality, as in the case of Lekwataimane and then the one in the Eastern Cape. I've just forgotten the name of the municipality, but it's where they normally held this art and Grahamstown, in fact. So I've just forgotten what is the name of that municipality. And we oppose the part that says they need to run the affairs of the municipality, because we indicated to them that they can still, in terms of the act, participate fully in the affairs of the municipality without necessarily running the administration and the finances of the municipality. We were listed as the respondents, as you can see, the chairperson, the municipality itself, the municipal manager, the council, the expert representative or administrator, the Premier of the Free State, three MECs, four ministers, NCOP, Fezile Dabi District, and the President seeking the following relief, as listed that Section 139, Subsection 7 should be considered, and the structural interdict requiring that national respondents report back to court, and Mafube Business Forum and AFRI Forum be permitted to assist and oversee the Mafube local municipalities administration on a temporary basis. But the court instead ruled that Section 1391B should actually be invoked, and the judgment has been issued with cost against a number of respondents except for the municipality, and that is should be noted by the committee. This is just to indicate when was this matter heard, and then what is the judgment. It says Section 139, subsection 4 and 5. Subsection 4 deals with the processes where the municipality is unable to raise revenue or pass their budget, then the provincial government must then assume that responsibility, which I don't think is a problem at this stage. And then 5 is a mandatory financial recovery plan. Last week, Executive Council resolved to invoke Section 139, subsection 5, because 4 is what will ensure that it happens in terms of revenue raising measures, including passing the budget. 5A and C, which is a mandatory intervention, almost similar like the one that was initially invoked in Mangaung Metropolitan Municipality. So this decision was actually taken last week, and then we will accordingly inform the NCOP or the Select Committee on the invocation, including the names of the people who have been suggested by the Executive Council to be the ones that will undertake this process. Let me indicate, Chair, we would provide information in terms of all the reports that they were required. We, as far as the records show, we have actually informed. And where we did not inform accordingly, we will also inform and then be upfront about those reports that is not tabled as required by law. In conclusion, Chair, the problem is that there's a challenge in the municipality in terms of the finances. The municipality owes ESCOM, SARS pension funds, including rural maintenance, the aging infrastructure, and it currently depending on conditional grants and the equitable share to run their own operations. One of the things that I think it's important to report on is that we have been able to also reduce the salary bill of the municipality. The municipality, in terms of the salary bill previously before our intervention, it was standing at 80% when their budget is 120 million per annum. So you can imagine, they only had 40 million.
Mr. Duma, Mr. Juma, if you don't mind, just summarize, please, because...
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done, Chair. That was the last point from my side. My apologies, Chair. I'm done. Yeah. This then brings us to the end of our presentation on Mafube, Chair. I don't know whether should I then jump to the other one.
Yes. Go to the other one. As you go to the other one, we understand the gist. The gist is that there is a court order. I don't know what do they call it, Interdict Mandamus, that compels you to invoke Section 139 of the Constitution. And as you report, Executive Council met last week. It invokes Section 1395 of the Constitution, It's A and C, because B has got to deal with the dissolution. The C appoints an administrator who becomes charge of that aspect of the financial administration of the municipality. We understand the gist that this is the situation because the municipality is in a financial paralysis or crisis. Go to the next presentation, please. Mr. Duma? Mr. Mokete Duma, okay.
Chair, is it reflecting?
Yes, it is reflecting, and please note the following. We know that Malutia Phofung was under administration 1391B. We know the problems which were identified. We know the situation. Tell us what you want to do and tell us what is the state of affairs currently in Malutia Phofung. We are aware that there is a new council that was elected on the 1st of November last year. And we are also aware that there is a new council, a coalition government at that municipality. Tell us more about these things without going deeper into the financial ones. No, we've dealt with this issue. We have even visited Maluti Apofu. We are aware that there is a matter of ESCOM in relation to the court order, the agreement that was there between ESCOM and the Maluti Apofu. And all of that. We know some of the information. Just tell us what is it that you want us to do now and the basis of that and what is the state of affairs currently in Maluti Apofu. Thank you.
Yes, sir. No, thank you. In summary, the issues are there for members to see in terms of the background. But in summary, what we want to indicate about service delivery is that the municipality anytime will be concluding an agreement with ESCOM, the agreement which is known as active partner remodeling. In terms of that agreement, ESCOM will collect the money, improve the network. Chairperson, there's a noise at the background. It disturbed my presentation. If anyone who's responsible for that can mute, please, with due respect. Chairperson, what I want to indicate is that ultimately the municipal council in principle has agreed to look into ESCOM providing electricity services and then also raising revenue for the municipality. And then once the monies have been collected, whatever that remains after Eskom has deducted the current account, including whatever portion towards the area account, and then that will be paid in the primary account of that of the municipality. That will be done in terms of section 8 of the MFM 8D, which then says the municipality can have an external party to collect revenue on its behalf, and then that revenue collected must be paid in the primary bank account. So the municipality in principle has agreed to that. Yesterday the team had a meeting with the ESCOM, and then we just want to get the final details of the active partnering model. In terms of that model, ESCOM will suppress the interest and then will ensure that it improves the network, and as it improves the network, it will also mitigate on the notified maximum demand, because currently the municipality is suffering a huge penalty, including interest, on the notified maximum demand, because their supply agreement with Eskom is 110 MVA, but the municipality is actually using 170 MVA, which then says that there's an excess of 60 MVA, which results in the municipality incurring the debt. You recall that the bill, when we started, the Eskom bill was standing at 2.2 billion, but as we speak today, it is currently standing at 6 billion because of the penalties and the interest that was levied on all overdue accounts, including the penalties levied, including that interest. So the municipality has agreed they will be implementing that active partnering model. It has got its own advantage and disadvantages, but the advantages overweight the disadvantages, because then there will be consistent supply of electricity in the interest of the business forum of Maluta Pofung, the special economic zone, because that is the only way to salvage. You would recall previously that one of the biggest factories, two of the biggest factories, wanted to relocate because of the problem of water supply and electricity. But at least with this commitment, we can guarantee that they will remain in the municipality, because they will no longer have problems around the supplies of water and electricity, which will then ensure good production. The other issue is that the minister has assigned one of the entities, Bloom Water, working together with the Water and Sanitation Department, to ensure that Bloom Water does all the problems that they have and that have been identified around the supply of water. And these are the positive things that are currently happening in the municipality. Last year, we, as you would know, we have reported to both the portfolio committee, including the select committee, that we had concern about the salaries of MM and the CFOs that were not consistent with the regulations. We have advised accordingly, and then our advice fell on deaf ears, and then ultimately we resorted to applying to the High Court for a declaratory order which nullified the salaries of both the CFO and the MM. And in terms of the interpretation by other legal eagles is that the court has also nullified their appointment in that regard. But we have received the notice that the two candidates have actually appealed against the sentence, so meaning that the status quo will remain up until their contract then automatically comes to an end by effluxion of time. So, Chair, that is all from our side. There's a number of issues that we have actually listed there, but in the interest of time, this is where I want to end. Thank you, Chair, with your permission.
Just for the sake of members before they engage, one, is the municipality still under administration in terms of section 139B?
No, Chair, the municipality was, it was revoked.
It was revoked.
Yes, you recall last year, the Minister of Finance issued a directive to the Premier to consider.
I'm saying at the moment, the municipality is not under administration.
It's right? Under administration. Thank you, Chair.
Is the purpose of this presentation to inform us about the new measures in relation to the payment of services that the third party, that is ESCOM, is coming in and collecting revenue on behalf of the municipality, the issues around the municipal manager's appointment, and the issues around the third party, non-payment to third parties? Is that correct?
Yes, Chair, I must indicate that, remember, the non-payment of third parties was something that happened before the intervention. Currently, yeah, now, okay.
This was the purpose of the presentation. Yes, I understand. Yes, okay, sir. Fine. Now, I'm just raising this because I'm helping the situation without taking all the issues, because we engaged Eskom and Maluti in 2020. They came to Parliament, and that 2020 December, we went to Maluti Apofu, and since then we have been engaging with the issues of Maluti. They are in the public domain. Members are aware of those issues, and I want us to be quite specific about how we are going to approach this presentation. Thank you very much for that. Honourable members, over to you. These are the two presentations from Mafube as it relates to the mandatory invocation of Section 139 of the Constitution as per the court order, as well as the issue of ESCOM and the agreement and all of that in Maluti. Over to you, we can engage. I pick up Honorable Enoch Mthethwa, Honorable Leon Kleinhans, Honorable Kenny Motsamai, and who else wants to speak on these two matters? Honorable Sileku. Yeah, in that order. Honorable Mthethwa, did you remove your hand?
Yes, I've removed mine, Chair.
Oh, okay, wonderful. Honorable Kleinhans, Honorable Motsamai, and Honorable Sileku, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It would be good if the presentation can be removed so that we can see each other. Chairperson, on Mafube, I just want to comment on the contract with rural maintenance being reviewed. If we look at the general state of Mafube, especially also in line of the court order and the decision that the municipality must be placed under Section 139, it's clear that that municipality is actually dysfunctional. Now, the only thing that is actually working in Mafube is the constant supply of electricity, as well as rural maintenance, to my knowledge, are paying the current account of Eskom, and there is an Eskom debt still outstanding, which I believe is a historical debt. So if we can just be clarified on that, because to now put this dysfunctional, incompetent municipality in charge of the electricity as well, is going to actually make the situation worse. Now, having the contract with rural maintenance reviewed is fine if they can agree on new terms and so on and so forth. But I'm just afraid the municipality clearly is not collecting revenue. And that is actually the problem and the reason why they don't have money to do anything else. If they can sort out their billing system and their collection rate, then they might have some money to do other things. But I think to take over the entire electricity supply in Mafube by this municipality would be a very big mistake. Chairperson, and then on the issue of Maluti Apofung, I want to welcome the announcement or the decision that the leadership have agreed to enter into this active partnering agreement with Eskom, which we have said since the beginning is the only thing that can actually happen in Maluti Apofung, because 35 factories in Kwakwa have already closed as a result of the electricity and bulk water issues and so on. So this is a very positive development. However, it has not yet been deliberated and adopted by council, so it's not yet final. Clearly, the councillors will be looking at the entire agreement and what it all entails and so on, and hopefully will then agree to adopt it. Also on the intervention by the Minister of Water and Sanitation into the water and sanitation issues in Molodiyapofung, that is also welcome. It's still a bit unclear how exactly this is going to work and how the reporting is going to be done. And both of these issues are going to have major implications for the budget, which has already been tabled. So presumably the MEC or the HOD could just assist us in understanding whether that tabled budget will now have to be withdrawn and reworked to include the ESCOM and water and sanitation implications. And then on the court order on the MM and CFO, as I understand it, my reading of that court order is that the MM and CFO, the contract which was entered into by the Troika, which entailed the very high salary, is the contract which has now been declared illegal. And those two officials need to pay back the excessive salary. My reading says that the contracts entered into by the administrator were in actual fact correct, and that their contracts will stay in place until the end of October, when the municipal manager, at least his contract must end in terms of the law. If we can just have clarity on that. Thank you very much again, Chairperson. I do appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Guys, thank you very much, Honorable Clemens, followed by Honorable Motsamai.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now mine is so short. We mustn't hold the meeting visually, the commissioner would mention. We must have a place where we can meet with them, because the issue of Free State is very serious. And they can't why get it to fail, even the people, they don't even fear anything. So the people is visually, even physical, I think you share.
Thank you very much, Honorable Motsamai. Now, Honorable Clemens, you have the floor.
Thank
you,
Chair. Firstly, let me appreciate the two presentations, as much as the last one was very confusing, Chair, because the challenges and progress that has been mentioned was dating back to 2020, and now we are in 2022. But thank you very much for your guidance and clarity in what was the purpose of this particular presentation, especially of MAP. Mine is just a few questions of clarity, Chair. The first one, I will start with MAP. Would the HOD say that there is political stability in that particular council? If so, why does it say so? If not, why not? That is just one question. And also, just to latch on to what Honorable Kleinans has been asking, she has mentioned that the MM and the CFO are paid on two contracts which have been disputed by the department. So one would want to know, up until their contracts expires, or it's been reviewed, or the court, their review has been heard by the court, on which contracts are they currently paid? Are they paid on the one by the that was with the 40% more than the norms and standard, or the latest one, which was between the administration? We just need clarity on that one. And on Mafube, Chair, I would ask the same question also to Ntate Duma, that would Ntate Duma say that in Mafube that there is political stability currently there? And also, why is there, especially that's something that I'm picking up in the country now, that provinces who has the authority to intervene in municipalities that are problematic or that are struggling. They seem not to intervene in time. And, you know, external parties or external stakeholders take it upon themselves now to go to court to force the provincial, you know, administrative departments to intervene. Why is there such a need for external parties now to go to court to force provincial departments? Or would you say that in Free State specifically, that they don't trust the provincial department when it comes to their, you know, obligation of making sure that they intervene and make sure that the municipalities are supported? Because now, you know, one would also know that what these external parties, when they go to court, they advocate for Section 139.7 instead of, you know, of Section 139.1A or B, you know. And also, closing, Chair, when the EXCO met in terms of how they are going to intervene, in terms of Maluti, that they opted for Section 139.5A and C, can you just give us some motivation and clarity in terms of why did they opt for that option instead of the other options in terms of Section 139? Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you getting well? You said why they opt for 5 and not opt for?
For the other options, Chair.
Okay, now I understand. I see a hand. Who is this Galaxy 8 who has not marked him or herself?
Sorry, Chairman. I'll
change it very quick. Firstly, who's that?
Councillor.
Oh, you are a councillor in Maluti Apofulu. Are you a councillor in Maluti Apofulu?
Yes.
Yes, identify yourself properly so that we know who you are, what you represent. Yes, and then proceed from there.
Sure, okay, I'll change this Galaxy S8 Plus to Melo Tula so that you can note me very well next time. Are we still together, Chair?
Yes, yes. Firstly, introduce yourself properly because you didn't tell us that you were going to speak and we can't even identify yourself here. Your name, your designation, the party that you represent in Maluti Apofulu, so that we know you properly.
Okay. I'm Dumelo Tulo from Maluti Apofulu, a councillor in the municipality of Maluti Apofulu, the WEEP of the African content movement.
Okay. Yes, you can proceed. Now I know who you're talking to.
Okay. No, Councillor Clean Hands raised a very critical issue that this active partnering that we are going into with ESCOM has not been finalized yet, because now there are a lot of outstanding issues that we need to talk to so that this active partnership can continue. As it stands, from where I am, it stands to disadvantage the workers that are already there of MAP. In terms of ESCOM will come with their own employees. So now we need to discuss around the issue of where does it put the employees of the municipality that are already in place, that are dealing with the issue of electricity. So we can't say that this active partnering, it's already concluded, or we are nearing even so its conclusion, whereas we do not take the livelihoods of our people here into consideration. So I wanted to register that so that it does not.
You are a councillor in Malutia for full, representing a particular political party. Why don't you raise those issues as the negotiations are proceeding or making a submission that into account what you are raising?
We are yet to see it. We've never discussed this issue of active partnership. We have never discussed it. So we are yet to raise it. So in that line, we cannot say we have concluded on the matter.
Yes.
Yes, Chairperson.
It's clear. We understand you.
Even on the one of Bloomwater, we are yet to sit and discuss those matters.
Yes.
We haven't discussed it. In terms of political stability, I think it's Honorable Sileku, I raised it. I can't say there's political stability. I'm yet to hear from the HOD who can respond as wrong on the matter. But there's no political stability here. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. In the absence of who's Mwekechi Libesa now?
Yes, Chair. Yes, I'm Mwekechi Libesa, the Chief Whip of Malutia Phofu.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, I just want to clarify the issue of...
From which political party? Political party are you from? Because there is a
I'm from the Kwankweta Party of South Africa. I'm also the Chief Whip of Malutia Phofu.
Yes,
I just want to clarify the issue of active partnering with ESCOM. In fact, the negotiations with ESCOM started during the previous council. And it's only yesterday that the current council resuscitated those negotiations. So this week or next week, we'll have a special council meeting where the council will deliberate on the ESCOM active partnering. And the issue of council employees is covered in the discussion. And we are still going to embark on a public participation and consultation with the stakeholders like labor and other stakeholders and business and other community organs of our community. So we have not yet concluded the deal with ESCOM. Councillors will be taken on board. On the issue of the stability, there is a stability in the Malutia Phofu municipalities because councils meetings are held regularly. We have had two special council meetings. It's just that some of the councillors, more especially the opposition councillors, are always sponsoring motions of no confidence, which are daily failing. But in the meantime, we are moving forward as the Council of Malutia Phofu. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. In terms of your designation at municipal level, you are called a single whip of council, not the chief whip. If you say chief whip, it will confuse us. You are a single whip of council appointed to do the whipping work at council level.
Honorable members, thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm the single whip. Don't call me chief whip anymore. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Some of these things are confusing. Otherwise, when you say chief whip, then I want to hear which chief whip you from. No, you can't be a chief whip of council. Single whip of council. Yes. With that, honorable members, let me just also make some comments in relation to the two presentations and obviously welcoming them. As I understand, the ExCo of the provincial government of the Free State has placed the Mafube municipality under section 1395 of the constitution, which means that they invoke both A and C. A is about enforcing a mandatory financial recovery plan for the municipality. It must be compiled. Secondly, it is about sending an administrator and the team to oversee the financial administration of that municipality. These are the basis of the invocation of section 1395 of the constitution in that municipality. And that is done as per the court order that said you must place that municipality under administration. And I know that we discussed this when this happened in the Makana local municipality in Grahamstown, in which the provincial government was forced through what is called Interdict Mandamus to force it to invoke a measure in that particular municipality because of the failure of the municipality to perform its functions and the failure of the provincial government to intervene when it was requested to intervene. We are more or less aware of such a situation. Now, my issues is that, as you are aware, MEC and HOD, once you place the municipality under section 1395, you must within 7 days inform the NCOP. I would like you to do that, because once you miss any procedural aspect of this intervention, you're creating problems for all of us. This is the first thing that I request you to do. But you are aware that a lot of people accuse provincial government of the intervention in terms of 139 because they say it's not working, it is not yielding the positive results. There are lots of problems with the interventions, as it were. Now, I would suggest that you need to produce a roadmap, an action plan that spells out exactly what is it that you are going to do with regard to your intervention. Identify those areas of financial intervention that you need to put in place, paying third parties, ensuring that the municipality adopt the budget, that you pay your debtors, that you attend to the issues of your creditors, that you attend to the issue of your tax and all of those related. We expect you to develop a roadmap on how you are going to intervene in that respect and give us, so that we have a sense whether this intervention, albeit it is mandatory, it is going to yield the necessary results, because that is quite important. And I suggest that you need to favor us with that plan on how you are going to intervene in that municipality. Yeah, I'll stop there with regard to Mafube. With regard to Malutia Profum, the main emphasis is that whatever the agreement that the municipality reached with ESCOM, it must be an all-inclusive agreement. There must be engagement and consultation with all the necessary players, especially in the municipality, in the political parties. I don't know what Single Whip is talking about when he says there is political stability. Another councillor says, no, there is no stability. But what we know is that there's been a lot of motion of no confidence in the leadership of the municipality. The municipality is under the coalition government. It is in our best interest, in the best interest of that municipality, that it is really stable politically, because a municipality that is not stable politically, it has got its own problems. And our wish is that let parties work together to ensure that we bring stability in that municipality and forge ahead in terms of service delivery, because that is what is extremely important, that once elephants are fighting, the grass must not suffer. And this is what normally happens, that when there is instability politically, when they are fightings and all of that, service delivery suffer. This area of Malutiapofu has gone through tremendous sufferings. We know of the violent service delivery protests that we always see in that municipality. It's covered extensively in the media. We know that the people of that area have suffered a lot in respect of just a basic need, water. Water has been a very, very serious problem. We know that in that municipality, there's been serious problems of electricity. With so much money that is owed to ESCOM, it needs to be attended to. The last time when we received the report, Honorable MEC, 70%, and listen to me carefully, 70% of the debt that is owed to ESCOM by municipalities in the whole country is from the Free State. With Machabe leading at about 5 billion, Malutiapofu, I don't know, at that stage it was about 3.5 billion. I hear now that it's about 5 billion rand or 6 billion rand. And your municipalities in the Free State were topping on the rank in terms of the monies that were owed to ESCOM. It's not a very, very pleasing situation. It's got to be attended to. And politicians, especially leaders at municipal level, must really work together for the common good of our people, so that our people do not suffer at the end of the day. I want to hear your responses, just quick responses on the two. We now understand that in respect of Mafube, you are coming to inform us about the mandatory intervention as per the court order. And secondly, you are taking us into speed in relation to MEP on the matters of the agreement that needs to be concluded with ESCOM, which has profound implications for the municipality itself. But as to how you're doing it, we will be watching you closely. All of you, whether you do it right, and at the end of the day, that agreement yields the positive results, so that there is stability at the end of the day in that municipality. And thank you very much for that. We understand why you wanted to brief us. We are quite happy. That is a proactive way of attending to issues, so that we know in advance what are the issues and challenges. Over to you, just quick responses. And then we need to move on with our agenda. Over to you, MEC. Is MEC there?
Yes, I am here.
Yes, I've given over to you so that you make your concluding remarks or your responses, if any. I don't think that there is much.
It's safe to say, Chairperson, that with regard to Mafube, I think there are some lessons to be learned. That sometimes we had the intervention, we have now the forced intervention, and I think that we need really to apply ourselves correctly and to look at the ability of this municipality to exist the way they are at the moment, and whether they will be able to service our people moving forward in the way they are established, and their capacity, especially the revenue base that they have, but also the capacity in the administration itself. Is also an issue that needs to be dealt with. Some of the interventions would not be useful if we're not planning out what exactly do we want to achieve when we finish with the intervention. So it should not be just an intervention where you have people and then we do, because the law says we must do this. It must be with an intervention, with an intention to make sure that we get out of the place with a better municipality and a better functioning institution. So I think these are some of the things that I would like us to do to consider in the future. And thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right, thank you very much. On our MEC, we will look forward to engage further with you. Free State is in our radar. It's one of the problematic areas, including the Northwest, where there are problems, and the AG has identified those systemic problems in the three or four provinces where municipalities are really, really underperforming. And thank you very much for that. With that, let me take this opportunity to thank there is someone who's raising the hand. It's Peko Mukwena from SAMU. I thought perhaps we have closed this issue. I was checking who else wanted to speak, and there was no one who wanted to speak. Okay. Is there anything that a certain Mr. Peko Mukwena want to say?
Yeah, Honorable Ken,
have you been part of this meeting all along?
Yes, seen from the study in chair.
Yes, but I gave everyone who raised his or her hand an opportunity to speak.
I did a chance to include
what is it that you want to talk about?
I thought as local in the local for the on the presentation
page. Mr. Mukwena, listen to this. I'm allowing you to speak, but how we work is that anyone who's part of the meeting raises his or her hand, indicates to speak, and there is no way that I can deny you an opportunity to speak when you want to really address the meeting, because all the views are important. We want to listen to all the views of people. I'm allowing you to speak. Just speak what you want to speak without explaining other things, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we'll also be able to give a written submission from the side of labor, but we also want to follow it suit, Chair, that we welcome the presentations made from COGTA and also the responses that we've heard from different participants. We want to highlight a few issues. One, it is the issue of your Mafube locality, which we want to highlight that indeed we found that normal practice that municipalities will be run by external people where they have irregularities and to our communities there.
Your voice is very terrible. I've been patient. But your voice is very terrible. You're cutting. Just try to stand where it's appropriate or improve your voice so that your articulations are clear. I must hear.
I've tried to move, Chair. I'm not sure whether am I now audible.
You're better now.
Not then, Chair. Chair, I was raising the issue of the reaction from the external NGOs. About the non-provision of the service delivery, or rather poor provision of the service delivery by the municipalities. But I am saying this, it has been a normal practice, and our people end up having embarked on these issues of litigations against municipalities purely because of the reluctancy of our provincial interventions, which some are not consistent with the provisions of our laws that governs the municipalities and the province itself. But however, Chair, we appreciate and welcome the intervention recently to Mafube for the sake of stability and improved service delivery to our people. Chair, we also want to welcome the reviewing of the long outstanding issue of your electricity utility, which was there, milking the municipality in Mafube, the rural maintenance. And we wish that that process will bear good result for the termination finally of that particular contract with the municipality, because it is that utility that has led to the collapse of that particular municipality. So we welcome that an informed intervention, Chair. Chair, very quick, man, on the issue of your Maluti Afrofung. Let me indicate that I want to talk to the issue which it has recently raised by the councillor, Councillor Thabiso, if I've heard him correctly, Chair. The issue of your ESCOM process. Chair, much as we welcome the issue of the intervention in terms of the active in partnering agreement with the municipality. But we are saying, Chair, we have appealed to the Deputy President when he was in Thabo Mofutsanyane district to say, much as this intervention seeks to improve the service delivery to our communities, but there are due processes, procedures that must first be embarked on to enable other interested stakeholders in line in 76 to section 80 of the Municipal Systems Act to unfold. We are saying, Chair, and we want to record that nothing about us without us. We are aware that this process of ESCOM will have the negative bearing to the livelihoods of our members. It is a job threat to our members, and it is also our concern that we need to come up with a way of ensuring that there is a consistent provision of electricity in that municipality. But I think, Chair, it is proper that we avoid concluding agreements, service level agreement with ESCOM before we can first exhaust the internal mechanism before we arrive to the signing of this agreement, because this will bring an unnecessary chairperson litigation in the process, much as this process will also impact positively to the lives of our people. So we want to record this to say we need to do things according to the book. Chairperson, also the issue of the CDBM, we have also registered it with the minister, that is Senzo Mtun, about the Bloom Water taking the stages or coming to Maluti Afrofung to partner with the aim to improve the services of water and sanitation in
Mr. Mokoena of SAMU,
yes,
I'm going to request you, with due respect, summarize. Most of the issues that you ventilate now were dealt with, and I'll tell you what we said. Can you just, in the interest of time, summarize?
No, look.
We said, as a matter of principle, all these agreements that are concluded must not be done without you. You must be taken on board. And now you are repeating it as a matter of fact. And now
I am representing a constituency, and
no,
I want to register our concerns.
Wait, Mr. Mokoena. First, you didn't raise your hand.
I did raise my hand.
You didn't. I'm operating a system. Mr. Mokoena, please. I'm sharing this meeting. This is a meeting of parliament.
But I did raise my hand, Chair.
Yeah, but this is a meeting of parliament. You are now interrupting.
And I have been invited in your meeting. I'm not disturbing the meeting.
Are you interjecting me when I'm speaking, Mr. Mokoena?
No, I was clarifying the statement that you have earlier issued, Chair,
to say
they are incorrect.
Let me conclude. firstly, I'm saying that the system that I'm operating here didn't give me an indication that you want to speak, and I've given you an opportunity to speak. You almost wholly repeat everything that was said. And the bottom line is that there is a need for thorough consultation.
Participation. Yeah.
Now you are interrupting me. Can you, Fuad, can you mute that participant, please? Or if it is possible, remove him out of the meeting. I'm saying that you have ventilated all the issues. We have understood. And we have said to this meeting that we need to ensure you need to go and consult every stakeholder. And with due respect, as much as we want you to speak, you're repeating the same issues which were ventilated. And now you want to raise another issue pertaining to water, that the same agreement must be followed. This is appropriate at that particular forum where you are going to be consulted, that this matters must be raised by you as a constituency that you represent in the workers, to say, in our view, we want this to be done and this is how we want it to be done.
Yeah.
And this is what the procedure must be in respect of following all these particular issues. These issues are extremely important, but I'm not going to sit here allowing you to speak and repeat the same things that other people have already spoken about, especially when we had already closed this particular matter. I want to know that there is a need for active participation of all stakeholders and that they must be consulted and their views must be incorporated in whatever agreement that gets concluded. That is our view. I suggest that we close this particular matter on a note that on a note of all the issues that we have raised. And really thank the MEC and everybody from the Free State who was part of this important meeting to engage with the issues which were on the table. If you want to remain throughout the course of the meeting, you are free to do so, but you are excused because now we are going to deal with the three reports of this committee that the committee must now consider. And thank you very much in that sense, Honorable MEC and the team and any other stakeholder which was part of this particular meeting. Let's proceed, Honorable Members. Fuad, can you now deal with the reports? Take us through the report. Start with the first report.
Chairperson.
As you are aware, in the meantime, honourable members, we are going to consider three reports.
Sorry, Chairperson, with due respect, can we be excused because now the session is for the committee unless we still...
I've said that, Mr. Duma, that
you
are excused. Those who want to remain can remain behind. But the Free State delegation is led by the honourable MEC is released. You are excused from the meeting and thank you very much. But if you want to remain in the meeting, you are free to do that. Honorable members, the first report that we are considering, it is our report in respect of the 2022-23 annual performance plan and budget allocation of the Department of Water and Sanitation, vote number 41 of the budget. And the report is as per the meeting that was to be held on the 13th of May, but we must just correct that, is the 17th and not the 13th of May, because we postponed the meeting from Friday to today. What I'm going to do as a norm, because we have submitted all these documents in time, I'm just going to deal with the observations, findings, observations, and recommendations. If you can just take us through that introduction, presentation, the programs of the department. We all know all of this information. I'll start from 7. That the Select Committee has welcomed the 2022-2023 APP and budget allocation of the Department of Water and Sanitation. The Select Committee has noted that the APP has been aligned and integrated with the medium-term strategic framework and the 2022 State of the Nation Address. The Select Committee has further noted the main priorities of the department for 2023-2023 financial year, and that they include the implementation of projects to augment bulk water resource infrastructure, lead the development of water resource, support the municipalities on water and sanitation services, table the NWRIA bill and business plan, strengthen regulatory intervention to address pollution of environment and water, improve revenue collection across the water value chain, and reduce irregular, unauthorized, and wasteful expenditure. Correct that wasteful, please. And ensure consequence management for financial misconduct. While welcoming the commitment and priorities of the department, the Select Committee raised concerns regarding the absence of the minister to lead from the front the presentation of the 2022-23 APP and budget allocation. The Select Committee further raised general concerns about the non-implementation of war on leaks, school sanitation, bucket eradication, water pollution functionality, and stability of water boards, fighting corruption, implementation of forensic investigations, lack of progress report on concerns raised by the Select Committee during the 2021-22 financial year, filling of vacant positions, court expenses, rollovers, financial misconduct and spending on water and sanitation infrastructure, lack of timeframes on the eradication of the bucket system, fruitless wasteful expenditure, and lack of consequence management around the corruption in the Giani Water Project. That despite the concerns raised, the committee has noted and generally welcomed the progress made by the department in stabilizing the water boards and ensuring transparency in the appointment of competent, skilled, and qualified board members. Noting the above, and having considered, now I'm dealing with point number 8, having considered and deliberated on the 2022-23 APP and budget allocation of the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Select Committee recommends to the NCOP as follows. 1, the Department of Water and Sanitation should fast track the process of submitting the National Water Amendment Bill to Cabinet for approval so as to time us to table it to Parliament during the 2023-24 financial year. That 2, the Department of Water and Sanitation should provide a provincial update report on the status of water and sanitation projects, including the support provided to the municipalities in the entire country. 3, that the Department of Water and Sanitation should provide progress report on war on leaks program, including the findings of and recommendations of forensic investigations conducted. 4, that the Department of Water and Sanitation should provide supplementary progress report on support provided to communities affected by floods in areas of KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and the Northwest, including mechanisms to mitigate corruption and misappropriation of resources allocated. Number five, that the department should provide quarterly progress reports on the achievements of outcome indicators as contained in the 2022-23 APP and budget allocation. Six, as part of ensuring executive accountability and parliamentary oversight, the Select Committee should align its quarterly program in line with the 2022-2023 APP and budget allocation of the department in order to monitor the implementation of the priorities developed by the department during the current financial year. Number seven, that and lastly, that the Select Committee should prioritize proactive oversight visits in collaboration with the Portfolio Committee in the provincial legislatures to monitor and assess the status of bulk water and sanitation projects in the provinces. That is the report. And for the record, I included only observations and recommendations that we place before you for consideration, honorable members. With all the corrections that we noted, I present this report before you. Any discussions with a view of ultimately adopting these reports? If there are no discussions, it's well and good, but I open the floor for deliberations. Over to you, honorable members. It seems as if that it is clear. Any mover for the adoption?
Jefferson, I move for the adoption.
Is that honorable Sheikh? Move for the adoption. Any seconder for the...
Enoch Mthethwa, second.
I see the honorable Mthethwa, Enoch Mthethwa, raising the hand. Any objection to the adoption of the report? There seem to be no objection. Any abstention? That must be recorded.
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Sileku. Isaac.
Yeah, thank you, meneer. Honorable Chair, from the DA would like to abstain. Thank you very much.
Are you abstaining from the DA?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Thank you very much. The report is adopted with the noting that the DA has abstained. And all the three members of the DA part of this meeting. I know you. You are alone, honorable Sileku.
So then I'm the spokesperson, Chair.
Speak on their behalf. They must be here to vote. Honorable Sileku is abstaining, and the other members are not present. Can we go to the next report with that understanding, please? You don't vote for, you know the principle of one person, one vote.
Chair, please, not today.
You don't carry their votes in your bag. They must vote here.
I'm the leader of the delegation here.
Yeah. All members present who are in this meeting now have supported the vote and no objection. And only Honorable Sileku has raised his hand to object. That is the decision, not the DA.
I abstained.
Yes, we have abstained. Yes, abstention. Yes, correct. The next report pertains to the annual, the 2022-23 annual performance plan and budget allocation for the Department of Human Settlements, budget number 33, dated the 17th of May, 2022. Please, Moss and the team, pay attention to all of this because we need to make those necessary amendments. Yes.
Noted, Chairperson.
Yes, and all the corrections that we pick up in the process. We will also help you to pick them up and deal with them accordingly. The department presented its budget priorities according to programs that they have and then everything, and we observe the following. That the Select Committee observed that the 2022-23 annual performance plan of the Department of Human Settlements has been aligned with the 2021 2019-2024 medium-term strategic framework, the 2022 SONA State of the Nation, and priorities identified through the consultation processes with the provincial members of executive and metropolitan municipal executive mayors. The Select Committee has noted that the department has, for the period 2022-23 financial year, prioritized increasing the pace of provision of title deeds to rightful property owners, and blocking of block projects, elimination of asbestos roofs across the provinces, elimination of dilapidated mud houses in the rural areas, and digitization of the beneficiary list in order to avoid fraud and corruption. Can you correct that fraud, please? The Select Committee has further noted that the department is focused on processing the Housing Consumers Protection Measures Bill and the Human Settlement Development Bank Bill in 2022-23 financial year. The Housing Consumer Protection Amendment Measures Bill will support the ability of citizens to take individual household initiatives to construct homes, while the promulgation of the bank bill is in the process. A simultaneous application has been submitted to the Minister of Finance on the exemption of the Human Settlement Development Bank from the Bank Act No. 94 of 1990 as a parallel process. While welcoming the 2022-23 APP and budget allocations to departmental programs and sub-programs, the Select Committee raised general concerns about the issue of the use of consultants, illegal occupation of land, title deeds backlogs, and blocking of block projects, pit toilets in rural areas, mud houses, lack of progress reports on concerns raised by the Select Committee during 21-22 financial year on internal audit, risk management, anti-corruption, and infrastructure development plans, instability and functionality of the boards. Having considered and deliberated on the 2022, just take it back a bit, please. Those are the observations and our recommendations. Having considered and deliberated on the 2022-23 APP and budget allocation of the Department of Human Settlements, the Select Committee recommends to the NCOP as follows. Number one, the Department of Human Settlements should provide quarterly reports on the implementation of the 2022-23 priorities and expenditure. Two, the Department of Human Settlements should provide supplementary report on the support provided to communities affected by recent floods in KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, and the Northwest provinces, including monitoring mechanisms to prevent fraud, misappropriation of funds, wasteful and irregular expenditure. Three, the Department of Human Settlements should provide a provincial breakdown list of block projects and asbestos assessment plans and reports, including their timeframes. Four, the Department of Human Settlements should provide detailed information on the implementation of the intergovernmental relations and operational capital programs. Five, the Department of Human Settlements should fast track the process of tabling the Housing Consumers Protection Measures Act Bill, and Human Settlement Development Banks Bill to Parliament as committed in the 2022-23 APP. Six, the Department of Human Settlements should fast track the process of the appointment of members of the boards in order to ensure stability, functionality, and corporate good governance and accountability. Seven, the CLEP committee should align its 2022-23 program with the annual performance plan of the Department of Human Settlements in order to monitor through proactive oversight visits the implementation of the human settlement priorities and targets across the provinces. That is a report as well, honorable members, for your consideration, any deliberations with a view of considering the adoption of the report. Any inputs in that respect? No inputs as such. Any mover for the adoption of the report? You are quiet, no one is saying anything. Are we audible? Any mover for the adoption of the report?
I move, Chair.
Yeah, I move again, Chair.
Oh, Honorable Enoch Mteta moves and Honorable Sheikh is seconding. Second. Any objection to the adoption of the report? No objection. Any abstention from this report, from the adoption of the report?
Mbulelo Sileku, Chair, thank you very much.
Honorable Mbulelo Sileku of the Democratic Alliance, and only him in this case is abstaining from the adoption of the report. Thank you very much, Honorable Mbulelo. Let's move on. Life continues irrespective of that. We continue to love one another and tackle one another. Okay. The last report pertains to the Department of Cooperative Governance, the Department of Traditional Affairs, as well as the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent. It means these are the three votes in one. Three votes in one. COC, and TA, and MISA. Also with regard to that, the observations of the committee are as follows. Having listened to the presentations, having considered the programs and the sub-programs, having noted the priorities and the key strategic focus of the department, we including the community works program, we observe the following with regard to the three votes of the department. Having considered and deliberated on the annual performance plans and budget allocations of the department, the select committee has observed and noted that, please just note that these are the three departments, that the Department of Cooperative, or we started with Cooperative Governance.
Chairperson?
Yes, Moss.
Just for an advice, Chair, the observation and recommendation are per department and lastly, MISA. So they are sectional, Chairperson.
Well, observations are, all of them are, that will not include the recommendations.
Okay, what we have done now was to make observation on cooperative governance.
Let's be patient. We'll be done in about 5 minutes.
Yes,
let's be patient for the record so that we inscribe this into the record of this meeting. That first, in terms of cooperative governance, we note, we consider that this department has revised its strategic plan for 2019 until 2024 to ensure alignment to the core mandate. This resulted in the review of the departmental operating model and organizational structure. The review, please correct that as well, isn't the review. The review of the strategic plan was also informed by the review of the MTSF by the Department of DPME, including the need to adjust the plans in line with the COVID-19 pandemic and unrest in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. the in July 2021. The annual performance plan for financial year 2022-23 of the Department of Cooperative Governance was submitted on the 11th of March 2022 for tabling in Parliament. The Department presented to Cabinet on 30 June 2021 the State of Local Government Report, and that a total of 64 municipalities were identified with challenges across the key performance areas of governance, administration, service delivery, and financial management. The department supported all 64 municipalities to develop municipal support and intervention plans. While welcoming the 2022-23 annual, While welcoming the 2022-23 annual performance plan of the department, the general concern raised by the, While welcoming the 2022-23 annual performance plan of the department, the general concerns raised by the Select Committee, which affects some municipalities, included delay on tabling of the Intergovernmental Monitoring Support and Intervention Bill, failure to table Section 48 Consolidated National Report on the performances of the municipalities, lack of consequence management, non-functionality of municipal public accounts committees, lack of absorption and exit strategy on community works programs, irregular and wasteful expenditure, lack of skills of appointed administrators, as well as slow progress on processing of corruption cases in the municipalities. Based on that, the following are placed as recommendations from the Department of Cooperative Governance. The Department of Cooperative Governance should fast-track the tabling of Monitoring and Intervention Bill so as to provide guidelines and norms on the invocation of Section 139 in the municipalities and minimum standards for the administrators. The Department of Cooperative Governance should table Section 48 Consolidated National Report on the performance of the municipalities in the provinces in terms of the requirement of Local Government Municipal Systems Act number 32 of the year 2000. Three, the SILEP committee to align its quarterly programs in line with annual targets of the Department of Cooperative Governance in order to ensure monitoring, executive accountability, and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2021-22 annual performance plan. The SILEP committee to develop a program that will allow the Department of Cooperative Governance to brief members on the State of Local Government Report and 64 municipalities which were identified with challenges across the key performance areas of governance, administration, service delivery, and financial management plan, including support provided. The SILEP committee, lastly, should during 2022 parliamentary fourth term schedule meeting with the schedule the meeting with the Department of Cooperative Governance to consider departmental annual report on the achievements and challenges related with the strategic priorities contained in the annual performance plan. Thank you very much. That is Department of Cooperative Governance. Let's go to the next one, Traditional Affairs. The Director General presented the 2022-23 annual performance plan. Go to the observations, please, of this and not deal with everything. Yes, let's deal with the observations. Having considered and deliberated on the annual performance plan and budget allocation, The Select Committee has observed and noted the following. The vision of the department is to have a community development or development-oriented institution of traditional leadership. This is pursued through ensuring effective governance of the department itself, promoting safe initiation practices, embarking on initiatives to support a functional institution of traditional and quasi leadership, development of partnerships in traditional and quasi communities, and promoting the transformation of, you are moving very fast, of the institution to conform with constitutional obligations. The 2022-23 financial year, correct, there are a lot of grammatical mistakes here, Moss. Annual performance plan of the Department of Traditional Affairs was tabled in Parliament on the 11th of March, 2022. The Department of Traditional Affairs will be monitoring the implementation of 8 provinces of the Section 24 of the TKLA. This intervention is meant to encourage traditional councils to enter into partnership agreements with government and other partners for socio-economic development of traditional communities. While welcoming the 2022-23 annual performance plan of the department, please correct that, of traditional affairs, the Select Committee raised concerns about the non-establishment of provincial house of traditional leaders in Western Cape, resource allocations to traditional leaders, and dispute resolutions among traditional leaders. Based on the above, and having considered the deliberations on the 2022-23 annual performance plan and budget allocation of the Department of Traditional Affairs, the Select Committee recommends to the National Council of Provinces as follows. 1, that the Department of Traditional Affairs should make a breakdown of the dispute on traditional leaders, including the nature, challenges, and progress thereof. The Select Committee to align its quarterly programs in line with the annual targets of the Department of Traditional Affairs in order to ensure monitoring, executive accountability, and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2021-22 annual performance. That the Department of Traditional Affairs should provide quarterly progress reports on the implementation and achievements of annual targets as contained in the departmental 2022-23 annual performance plan and allocation of budget. And lastly, let us deal with the observations around MISA, go straight to MISA. That is the last one. In terms of this, then we are done. Yes, that is number 20.1, please. 20.1, yes. Having considered and deliberated on the 2022-23 annual performance plan and budget allocation of MISA, the Select Committee has observed and noted the following. 1, that the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agent MISA tabled its approved APP for 2022-23 financial year in Parliament on the 11th of March 2022. This APP is based on the current strategic plan with 8 outcomes and 15 outcomes indicators covering the 5-year period 2020 until 2025. 2, through both the strategic plan and annual performance plan, MISA seeks to contribute to the achievement of outcomes aligned to relevant priorities in the revised medium-term strategic framework for 2019 until 2024. The presentation made by MISA reflected all 33 outputs and 35 output indicators for the 2022-23 financial year. It also gave a summary of financial resources allocated to the agency over the period, the three-year period of the current MPEF. Please correct this as well. Number four, while welcoming the 2022-23 annual performance plan of the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, the Select Committee raised concerns about lack of provincial breakdown on the technical support provided to municipalities and the reluctance of municipalities to request and use the technical support provided by MISA. Based on all of that, and having considered the deliberated on the 2022-2023 annual performance plan and budget allocation of MISA, the Select Committee recommends to the NCOP as follows. One, the MISA to provide the Select Committee with the provincial breakdown of the list of all the municipalities and districts that are technically supported by MISA, including progress and challenges. Three, the Select Committee to align its quarterly programs. The Select Committee to align its quarterly programs in line with annual targets of the of MISA in order to ensure monitoring, executive accountability, and parliamentary oversight on the implementation of the 2022-2023 annual performance plan. The Select Committee should, during the 2022 parliamentary fourth term, schedule a meeting with the with MISA in order to engage on the annual report to assess progress on the implementation and achievements of annual targets as contained in the annual performance plan and allocation of budgets. That is the report of the three entities that presented before us, honorable members, namely cooperative governance, two traditional affairs. Sorry, I got cut. Those are the reports, honorable members. Any deliberations? If none, can we move for the adoption of this report with all the amendments and the corrections? And please, Moss, I'm not happy with regard to the mistakes that I pick up in the, especially in the traditional affairs, as well as MISMA. These records are records of Parliament. Generations to come will read this information, and we need to avoid these unnecessary mistakes. With that, honorable members, can we look at the report with a view of adopting the report if it's possible? Honorable Enoch Mteto?
Yes, Chair. Thanks. I want to move the report. Thank you very much.
Honorable Mteto is moving for the adoption of the report. Any second, I see Honorable Butler.
Yes, sir.
Likewise, Honorable Butler is moving for the adoption of the three reports. Any opposition, any opposing adoption of the reports, of the three reports, or any of them, you can pick up any or all of them. None in respect of the opposition. Any abstention?
Honorable Chair, good afternoon. Mbudelo Sileku, abstain on all three reports, Chair. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Honorable Mbudelo Sileku is abstaining from the reports. Yes, thank you very much. Those reports are adopted. And thank you very much, honorable members. This was the report table before you. And thank you very much. With that, I want to really thank you very much for attending this meeting. I think it was a very fruitful meeting, especially the first part on the Free State. We need to do some work, ensure that we make follow-ups we deal with these issues that are before us quite appropriately to the best of our ability so that we impact on our oversight role to this province, which in my view has got a lot of challenges that must be fixed. With all of that, thank you very much for attending this meeting. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.